Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
Anti-aircraft gun pointed to action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific War Time this morning.
We are far stronger than we were 10 weeks ago.
General quarters, all hands at your battle stations.
Be nervous, count your toes. I'll do the mastermind over out here.
You who have not seen it do not know what hell looks like from the top.
Check it out every Tuesday and Saturday on Revolution Radio. It's a double dose of the internationally recognized renegade military historian, Douglas Dietrich.
You'll stay right where you are till I tell you to move out.
Yeah, that's right. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight Eastern Time. Join Douglas Dietrich as he exposes the truth in hidden history.
All right, guys, we're going to continue the conversation from the previous show on the Hawk's Nest. Just give me a couple of minutes. I'll get it up and running, and I'll try to bring back the same people. So there we go, and stay tuned for Sean David Morton here on Studio A.
On the show, critical omissions, and then our human weapon of mass destruction is back once again to take your calls on Saturday night firing lines, both from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
From sea to sea.
All right, you are a go.
From planet to planet and star to shining star.
You are a go.
From out of the night and into the light. From the pyramids of Giza to the pyramids on Mars. From the dark side of the street to the dark side of the moon. From the ancient antediluvian past to the furthest reaches of the far-flung future. From science fiction to science fact. From conspiracy theory to conspiracy reality. From Fort Sumter to Lusitania and the Gulf of Tonkin to 9/11. From George Washington to Barack Obama. From the bicameral fissure at the center of your brain to the pulsating, intelligent heart of our universe. Your frequency is ascending. Revolution-radio.com, revolutiontalkradio.com, revolutionradio.tv, and freedomslips.com. Our tickled pink, jumping up and down, standing on their heads and on prescription medication because they're more than happy to present the program that is the pinnacle of 16.4 billion years of evolution. The show that cracks the matrix every day, Strange Universe Radio. With your host, the man so nice they named him thrice, the man who bowls overhand, the man who, I don't know, just pisses everybody off, just on principle. Sean David Morton, welcome. It is I, the Sean. How are you guys doing?
You got it, Doc.
Good to talk to you. Welcome back to... See, now we have the whole other introduction that we have set up because you know what day it is, Steve? You know what day it is, even Steve? Wait, he's got to find it all. He's got to set it all up.
Want me to find that today?
Go find it all today. Why not? Go
handling that now.
Go find all the stuff. No, that's because he's on Wednesday. What do we do on Wednesday? We do what? Whedon's Odin's Day Wednesday?
Something like that.
All right, well, just let me know when you got it set up. Anyway, welcome everybody. I kind of have to apologize sort of for yesterday's program. I try to do remotes, unfortunately I picked this, there's a I don't know, a sitting room or a bar, I guess it's like a library like setting in the California Grand, which is an amazing hotel in downtown Disney, and unfortunately I was just in this corner where it got very loud and very noisy, and they were like spinning margaritas. The bar was a good like 100 feet away, and for some reason I was just in this bottleneck that was grinding everything up. So it was very noisy yesterday, and I should have just gone into the conference center. It was a lot more quiet, but it was nice because they served me coffee through the whole show. We good?
Uh oh! Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike?
Wait, stop. It's Wednesday. Today's not Wednesday. It's Thursday.
Oh, that day. Oh, that's what I, you had me all.
Today's Thursday.
I'm sorry. You had me all thrown off.
No, you have. I mean, it's fun to hear the camel it for is hope the day, camel. But you're off on Wednesdays. You know that, right?
Obviously. All right.
Oh, my God. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're right before your eyes, you're watching the marijuana just burn holes in his brain is all I can tell you.
Hey. All right. Hold on a second.
All right. Whenever you're ready for it, whatever. I know this is the biggest and longest buildup ever for a ridiculous routine.
All right. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, today, of course, it's Hammer of Thor Thursday.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the god of thunder, mighty Thor.
Odin, the creator of the universe, gave his only begotten son, the god of thunder, to come to Earth. Become the lame physician, Dr. Donald Blake. Date the ridiculously inane Jane Foster. Join the Avengers. Hey, there it is. The biggest, longest buildup for a ridiculous thing. I have no idea. We don't have anything special for Hammer of Thor Thursday. It's just fun to say. It's Sunday is to the sun. Moonday is to the moon. Tweesday is always the weird one because it's Tuesday, as you know, because Twee, of course, his name is Twee, which is probably where we get the word tweet from. And Tuesday was he was quote the right hand man to Odin, a great warrior that actually I believe had his right hand chomped off by Fenris the wolf, but he was just a particularly nasty, brutal warrior of Odin. So he got a day named after him. I'm not sure how. Wedin's Day is, of course, Odin's Day. Thor's Day is Thor's Day. And Friday, goddess of love, the Norse goddess of love, mind you, is, of course, named after Freya, who's also the goddess of snow. They have a goddess for skating, which is actually Skatey, actually, is her name, which is actually where the word skating comes from. So there you are. Okay, reader mail. We've got some kind of cool reader mail today, along with I want to thank everybody who writes into the show. And the mailbag comes in, and oh, my goodness, it's just filled with amazing, interesting, ascended kind of goodness. And I want to thank everybody who writes into the mailbag. It's like being one of the Beatles, I tell you. It's just they come in, they dump it on the floor, and of course I have to answer every single one, and my manager sits there, and I sit there with John, Paul, George, and Ringo and have to answer all the mail. So here it is. And if you send me a letter and you don't want me to mention your name on the air, please say so in the letter. But here's the mailbag. Hammer of Thor Thursday. So just my thoughts quickly. This actually comes from my buddy Ryan Velli. I want to say thank you, Ryan. Ryan, as many of you may or may not know, as part of the wondrous kind of A-team, a team of hunted ex-mercenaries, soldiers of fortune, and Secret Service agents, CIA, all those dedicated to the truth, the motley crew of those who are just different, who work every day to defend the human race, even though they hate and fear us. Or is that the X-Men? I'm not sure which. Anyway, all of the people on this team who are all bitten by radioactive spiders and or struck by a bolt of lightning while mixing chemicals in a police lab to become the superheroes that they are, to be on this program. There's even Steven. There's JP Prometheus. There is Ryan Velli. There's Kenny Keeling. Kenny's booking guests for us and providing research and all that. Ryan Velli is a former military intelligence officer, actually. Wrote an interesting was up for a top job in the Pentagon where they asked him to write a threat assessment for the future for the United States. And of course, he wrote this amazing paper on the Russians and the Chinese being threats to the United States. And he was literally told by his superior, he got turned down for the job because they told him, we don't have to worry about the Chinese or the Russians. The threat we have to worry about is extraterrestrial. So hence my book, Sands of Time, as well. So so there you have it. Anyway, and then he did get the job, and then he moved to after he quit the military, he actually moved to Canada because he just got so sick of the United States. And he also truly, because he was in the intelligence business, he knew where the U.S. was going. So he's a wonderful guy, and he provides me with all kinds of intelligence. And he teaches a class, actually, up at the, McGill University, I think, up in Montreal. And so his entire class, not only are they big fans of the show, and they come in and they talk apparently about the show in class the next day, but they're constantly scouring the internet for interesting stories and alternative stuff to send me. So I just want to say thank you. His lovely wife, Stephanie, actually sends me these amazing cookies. These jammy Dodgers and Codgers and Brown Bettys and all kinds of crazy stuff. And we've had a running joke going for a while that I left my Oxford University hat up there the last time I was visiting. And I know he's wearing it. I know he's running around wearing it because I just can't get it back to him. I'm hoping that he'll take it to someplace interesting, like a couple of dance clubs or something, and put it on some girls and take some pictures just to show that my hat was having a nice time while it was up there. Anyway, I'll get it back. Damn you, Ryan. I'll get it back for you eventually. Anyway, so he says, just my thoughts quickly on your show. Of course, we had a great show with Joshua P. Warren, and we talked a lot about radionics boxes, and which are remarkable devices. They are a fantastic sort of interesting way to use a left brain 4D height, width, breadth, linear measurement of time device. And it gives the 4D brain, the measurement part of the brain, something to do, a toy to play with. And this is a lot of when I teach remote viewing. And I'm going to get back out and start doing that, by the way. Start teaching remote viewing across the country. The classes were huge. I mean, it was great. We taught in Chicago, New York, Texas, Las Vegas, I think, was one of the best ones because we were teaching people how to use RV to deal with, to predict roulette wheels and all that. You have a question, Steve? Okay, I just heard my, I just heard something click on in my headphones. So one of the things about the remote viewing is that you build a like a starship inside your mind so that you can actually give the left-hand side of the brain something to do to allow you to access all the energy from the right-hand side of the brain. So Brian writes me a letter and says, just my thoughts quickly on your show with Josh P. Warren, and we talked about the radionics boxes and trying to connect modern technology with what's known as Enochian magic. And by the way, for any of you that are fans of the program Supernatural, great show, by the way, great show. Jensen Ackles, who's the you know the star of the show, Jared Padalecki, I hope I'm saying his name correctly. Maybe we can get him on the program sometime because they've been doing Supernatural up there for about 10 years or so as the Winchester brothers. And all those symbols that you see where they're trapping demons and warding angels and all the other things is all actually from the Enochian or angelic alphabet, which is not only out of the Enochian Book of Magic, but also comes from an apocryphal biblical book, which is called the Greater and Lesser Key of Solomon, because King Solomon was supposedly the master of magic, and he wrote this book for his son Rehoboam to pass on his mystical wisdom. Anyway, he says, just my thoughts on your show with Josh P. Warren. Great guest. Hope you have him on again. You mentioned Enochian magic. I played around with this and didn't get much out of it. Not that I think these things don't work. They do. The way I see it is that you are creating a vortex between realms, and these vortexes can be detected from the layer up. When there is no vortex, most things have problems locking into coordinates in our dimension. The parasites can see vortices that the seven deadlies put out, and benevolent beings can see the vortices of the seven virtues. And when we do magic to beget a particular event, we use ritual and consciousness to attempt – sorry, I'm being distracted here – ritual and consciousness to attempt to create these vortices. They communicate with the given beings we wish to either invoke or evoke. So this is what King Solomon understood and could do to perfection. Radionics, I'm sure, would help this process. Many tricks involved in getting it right, but I'm confident this is the basic structure. Out of time, we'll write more when I have the chance. All right. Well, thanks, Ryan. Thank you so much for that. What am I getting here? I'm getting information. All right. Okay. This is we'll talk about this also. Apparently, this just in. We're going to talk about the Pope has something to say to the economic people in Davos, which again sounds like Davros, which is the mad scientist who created the Daleks and Doctor Who. Okay, let me just get through the rest of the mail here because it is very interesting. I want to say thank you for Clayton. Subject is metals price, and I promised I would talk about this a little bit. Hi, Sean. Harry Dent. Oh, it's Harvey Dent. That's Two-Face. Okay, Harry Dent. Was on with George Norrie. Sorry, I can't even say his name without falling asleep. Saying that deflation would take down gold and silver prices over the next decade, except for a gold bounce to about $1,400 in the next few months. Eventually, gold would be about $750 and silver $5 to $10 an ounce. Would you please talk about your outlook on metals prices on the radio show? It would be much appreciated, and thank you for the information you share. Okay, I don't know who Harry Dent is, but the assumption that we're going into a deflationary cycle is insane. It's just, I mean, I don't know who's saying this. It's nuts. When you're actually looking at the national debt, by the time Barky Big Ears, the Fresh Prince of D.C., Tony D. Tiger or, you know, Harrison J. Bunnell or whatever, you know, I'm sorry, the Prezi of the U.S. Stezi is done with us and his Chicago gang thugs. The deficit is going to be about $20 trillion, you know, no matter what the Republicans say about it. It's this son of a gun spent more money than any other human being alive in about the first, what, year of his presidency, like while he's playing golf, by the way. So let me give it to you this way. There's nothing that says that they're going to stop and crunch the money supply anytime soon. With Janet the Felon Yellen, or the White Goblin Queen, now coming in as head of the Federal Reserve. And remember, just they were so desperate to get Yellen in there that the Senate dropped the nuclear option of banning or limiting filibusters in the Senate. And do not misunderstand me. The reason they did that was because Rand Paul threatened that he would filibuster her nomination, and that he was going to insist that the only thing that was going to stop him was if the Senate and the Congress actually then passed either an audit of the Federal Reserve, which they could not stand. If we audited the Federal Reserve and people actually found out what the Federal Reserve did every day, the natives from the town with pitchforks and torches would burn the place to the ground and flush out Dr. Frankenstein and nail him to a tree and hit him with rocks till he was dead. And again, because they created out of nothing. And actually, the other thing that would really piss them off is to know that they're taking your credit to do it, by the way, and using your Social Security number to print about $30 billion into the economy, and that you actually do have the right to write off, settle, and discharge any and all public debt, including taxes, including court cases, whatever else, by the use of the bond process. It's no big secret. Look at Section 15 of the Federal Reserve Act. Read Modern Money Mechanics by the Chicago Federal Reserve. By the way, I did an interview. I spoke to Janet Yellen, who was head of the Federal Reserve back in, I did a report in my newsletter. Oh, I didn't even know when it was. It was 2005, I think, 2005, 2006, around in there. It was at the time when the entire economy should have collapsed. It's about 2006, because what happened in 2006 was, so it had to be before that, 2005. In 2006, they took the Federal Reserve note off what was called the M3 index, and I was screaming bloody murder about this. I predicted they would do it. They took it off what's known as the M3 index, and the M3 index showed you how many Federal Reserve notes, or ferns, as we call them, because it's not U.S. dollars, by the way. They're ferns. They're privately printed, irredeemable promissory notes. They're privately printed by a private company called the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve is as federal as Federal Express. As an example, they're as Federal Express. That's like saying UPS is part of the United States because they have the word, they have a U in it, United Parcel Service or something, which probably isn't what it stands for, but I'm, just to mock it. So I actually asked her, what's the debt of the United States? And she said, well, it's like, I think at that time, the debt, remember way back in the day when the debt was only, I think, about $7 or $8 trillion. And I said, well, and how are we supposed to pay it? We're supposed to pay off the debt. She says, well, they'd have to pay it with U.S. dollars, which at that time are Federal Reserve notes. And she said, yes, Federal Reserve notes. And I said, how many Federal Reserve notes are in circulation? And she said, probably about 700 billion, she thought, at that time. And I said, well, how are you supposed to pay an $8 trillion debt if you don't even have the money in circulation to pay it? And her exact response, and this is a brilliant economist, by the way. She's no slouch. I'm not saying she's not intelligent. Her exact response to this was, I don't know. And she actually said, we are probably going to go, and I am surprised that this has not been brought up more often, saying we're going to go at some point to a photonic currency that'll be we're not even going to print the money anymore. And the majority of Federal Reserve notes, by the way, used to be printed in Philadelphia, where I think they cost like 12 cents or 13 cents or something to print. Whether it was a dollar or a $100 bill, it cost them that to print. And they actually then shipped the printing presses and everything else to South Korea because it was cheaper to print. So it was like 4 cents to 5 cents or so. They cut their prices by more than half, almost 60%, to print them in South Korea. And of course, then what happened was that South Koreans sent a spy in who then took the plates, and they took those plates to North Korea, which is why the North Koreans are so good at counterfeiting our currency, because we print most of it in Seoul. Bet you didn't know that either. So she said at that time, we're probably going to go to a photonic currency. It's all going to be just blips of light in a computer. And it is interesting that now here we are with Bitcoin, which is an electronic currency. But if anything, even if they go to what they call SDRs, which is special drawing rights, or you hear people talking about, quote, a basket of currencies, if anything, they're going to have to be based on something. And it's probably going to go back to gold or silver. So Mr. Dent's projection of gold going down, I'm not saying it's going to skyrocket either. I mean, so far I'm pretty much on it. Yeah, gold's around $1,200, which is what I thought it would probably level out at. Silver did exactly what I thought it was going to do. Silver actually went to a high of 45. And at one point I was telling you that it was going to be up as high as 60, and people didn't realize that if you silver at $45, if you wanted to actually get the physical silver, it was up to around 60 for a period of time. But I was saying this back when silver was $3. I was telling you that gold was going to go to well over 1,000, and probably maybe as high as $2,000 back when gold was a couple hundred dollars, $200, $250. People that took my advice, by the way, and bought gold paid off their houses with the gold. And I put my way through college, ladies and gentlemen, with gold coins. My Jewish stepdad said, "What do you want?" I said, "I want $5,000 worth of gold coins," which he got me, a big box of them, when they were $32 an ounce, 34, actually, I think it was. And when I went to college, way back before the dawn of time, gold was $850 an ounce. Of course, also interest rates were about 22% or so. So, and all this, and the biggest shift has been that the Chinese now allow their, I don't know what you want to call them, citizens, slaves, captive, whatever. I don't know what's going on in China. China's all been taken over by the capitalists now, so who knows. They've actually, on a positive note, China has actually closed the large majority of their slave labor camps, which is good because they don't need them anymore because everybody's slave in China. But you got to own gold. So all this gold is going to China, and it's not coming back. Now, the banks, and by the way, the biggest myths are that oil, diamonds, and gold are somehow rare. They are everywhere. So the banks actually set the value of gold. They also set the value of diamonds, just like oil companies and all that usually set the value of oil as well. So all these things are savagely manipulated, just to give you an idea that they're kind of scarce. So this whole thing about gold and silver going down, anyway, I'm still not sure where it's going to go to. It's still out. I'm still of the opinion that silver is probably going to level out eventually somewhere around $55 to $65 an ounce. And I'm still pretty sure that gold is going to level out somewhere around $1,750 or so. That's my opinion. So I disagree. I don't know anything about Harry Dent other than he's, you know, Two-Face's brother, Harvey Dent. So I don't know anything about that. Okay. Next letter comes from my buddy Mike Gray. And he says, "Hey, Sean, just so you know, Ariel Sharon was in a coma for 8 years. I was in a coma for 8 weeks, and it was like hell. Imagine being in a nightmare that you cannot wake up from," which is pretty much what my life is like now, what being in a coma is like. "I'm still learning how to walk without a walker, just so you know. So in my book, that man has paid his dues." Okay. He was in a coma for 8 years, and then they unplugged him. The reason was, why did they unplug him? And I did point out, he's got the rest of the letter here, but again, understood, the question is, was he poisoned? And he probably was poisoned with polonium, which is the same thing with which they killed Yasser Arafat. Now, if you remember, Ariel Sharon was known as the Butcher of Beirut, and he slaughtered 750 to 800 or so Palestinian prisoners, actually Lebanese, that were actually in his care, where he just had them all executed. At the same time, he was the one that went up to the Temple Mount and created this gigantic riot in which hundreds of people were killed when he sort of stormed the Dome of the Rock on top of the Temple Mount. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy who slaughtered more Arabs than the Passover angel in Egypt. But he was the perfect guy to come up with a workable peace plan in the Middle East. And he did come up with a workable peace plan. And this peace plan... And Ariel Sharon was probably, because he was such a savage, murderous brute, was probably the only guy that could have come up with a peace plan. And he was the one that was willing to cede certain parts of Jerusalem, specifically a part of the Mount of Olives, to the Palestinians, which the Israelis, the hardcore Israelis, really hated. So then you have a group of Kabbalistic rabbis who then do this whole ceremony. This was, I mean, I talked about this, and I said, you know, Sharon better watch out. He's either going to die or something's going to happen to him, because they placed this Kabbalistic curse on him. And a few days later, his bowels mysteriously necrotize, and he's been in a coma ever since. So many people now feel that the question becomes, why do they pull the plug on Ariel Sharon now after 8 years in a coma? And that his death now might be a sign of a coming apocalypse in the Middle East, or all those who still dream of Yitzhak Israel, which is Greater Israel, or all the land that was promised to the Israelis by God in the Bible. And by the way, all that land, they've never possessed all of it. And we'll never, and the Yitzhak Israel guys, the Greater Israel guys, will never give land or concessions to all the people that they stole it from in the first place. So, Sean David Morton, we've got Mayo, we've got all kinds of things. Pete Carroll, 9/11 truther. Will he get the truth out? Also, Sorcha Fall, what you aren't being told about the world you live in, and the Obama plan to depopulate Montana raises crisis fears in Moscow. Sean David Morton, you know him, you love him, you want to be him, and I'll be back after.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
My name is Sean David Morton, and in 2010, I was called into the offices of the most high-powered law firm in the world on an estate matter of the utmost importance. After signing contracts promising I'd never reveal the identity of the people involved, I inherited the journals of a man that had spent 40 years in and become director of the global shadow government. It was the Holy Grail, with information on the Unified Field Theory, the Roswell Crash, the Philadelphia Experiment, the Sigma Treaty, Nazi Superscience, the Montauk Project, Area 51, the Dulce Mesa Wars, and treaties with extraterrestrial races and the back engineering of their hardware. But mostly, it had to do with the development of technology that would allow us to travel through time and fight a deadly alien threat that was only now on its way here to destroy our world. Read the book that I have risked my life to write. For the first time ever, read the truth about it all. Sands of Time, the runaway bestseller by Sean David Morton, available in signed limited edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com.
Read this book and never be the same.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
My name is Megan Bell. My father, Dr. Fred Bell, was one of the greatest scientific minds of this age. He was a prolific writer, inventor, and extraterrestrial contactee. When my father tragically passed away, many thought that his incredible scientific work would be lost forever. But I have picked up the torch and reignited his Promethean flame. We now bring you the all-new Pyridyne, based on the powerful fields created by pyramids and hyper-advanced Pleiadian and Andromedan technology. We offer jewelry, pendants, and scalar wave-based pyramid systems that bring protection from all the dangerous, harmful fields and energies that modern civilization bombards us with every day. All this combined with a line of vitamins and nutrient formulas that bring you raised levels of health, awareness, and closer to the ascension frequency of our new age. I joyfully invite you to join us on our website and find out more information for yourself.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Pyridyne.com. That's P-Y-R-I-D-Y-N-E.
Okay, here it is. Life Change T's commitment to excellence. Once again, Ronnie McMullen here, challenging you to a better lifestyle and health. On my radio show, I challenge people to think and act on good mental health, and this, in turn, promotes great physical health. Life Change T is a head start product to help aid your health and bring you your best life. And Life Change T doesn't taste like tea. It tastes great. So now, here's your holiday bonus. Buy now a 1 month supply and we'll give you 2 weeks for free. It's our holiday giveaway and it's the best sell of the year. Lose weight and feel great this holiday season. So order now. Call 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Remember, we love our customers, and our customers love our tea. GetTheTea.com.
Will you fight? No! We will run! And we will live!
Shame on you!
This could be the greatest night of our lives. But you're gonna let it be the worst.
And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life you won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
Well, I'm not going home.
We've got too far!
And I'm gonna stay right here and fight for this lost cause.
A day may come when the courage of men fails, but it is not this day.
The line must be drawn here. This far, no farther.
I'm not saying it's gonna be easy.
You're gonna work harder than you ever worked before.
But that's fine, we'll just get tougher with it.
If a person grits his teeth and shows real determination,
failure is not an option.
That's how winning is done.
Believe me when I say,
we can break this army here.
And win just one for the Gipper.
But I say to you, what every warrior has known since the beginning of time,
you've got to get mad.
I mean plumb mad dog mean.
If you would be free men, then you must
fight to fulfill that promise. Let us
cut out their living guts
1 inch at a time.
And they will know what we can do.
Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
You're like a big bear, man.
This is your time.
Seize the day.
Never surrender.
Victory or death.
Match the Chicago.
Who's with me?
Clap! Clap! Don't let team die! Clap!
All right, let's fly!
And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall know my name is the Lord!
But I tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
our Independence Day!
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. One world coming together to bring freedom home. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now back to Sean David Morton with Strange Universe.
Time for one more? Okay, there we go. Hey, that's me. One more stanza. Make sweet love to you. All right, there we go. Joy to the World. It's a Strange Universe Radio on the Strange Universe Radio Network. It's Joy to the World. It's, here we are. It's me, the Sean. Welcome back to the greatest radio show ever in the history of all time and all space, cracking the matrix every time we speak. Hoo-yah! And yes, even Steven sent me this graphic that shows a world map with a little tiny circle with Israel at the center that extends about to Alexandria and then north into kind of Persian Syria, where it says every single action of God in the Bible, the Quran, and the Torah took place inside that little circle. That's correct. Although, the only thing I must say about that is that there are – it does talk about things in the heavens. It does talk about that – and the Lord hangeth the earth upon nothing, and that's actually out of the book of Job, actually, oddly enough. It does talk about how that the Lord sends his viceroys to go in and out of the poles, interestingly enough. So it does talk about the earth. The Bible does talk about the earth being round and floating in space. At a time when many people thought it was flat and on the backs of turtles and what have you. It does talk about a promised land, strangely enough, that there would be a promised land in the wilderness that would be, and this is a sort of a toast from the book of Joel, where it does say that the promised land, the second holy land, not the land of Canaan, but a second holy land would be prepared in the wilderness that would be between two shining seas, a great river to the south, and its northern border would be the top of the world, which does seem to describe the United States. So there is aspects of prophecy. But yes, it's and I want you to notice, folks, that what you're about to see happen in the next, let's call it 4 months. Let's say it starts in April. Because there's some nasty stuff that's about to ready to come down around April 21st, 22nd, 23rd. The prophet speaks. Mark my words. Because this begins, it's not going to be fun. There is yet another square, a 90-degree angle of the planets of Uranus, which is in the sign of Aries, which, of course, Uranus is atomic bombs, nuclear energy, computers. Aries is the sign of war. And Pluto, where does that sound come from? And Pluto is in Capricorn. And what Pluto does is that Pluto is the king of the underworld, and he's undermining everything that's Capricorn. What is Capricorn? It is the money system. It is constitutions, governments. So you just imagine underneath the government, you've got a guy with a scythe just scraping away at the bottom. It wipes out the foundations of things. And I had my buddy Brad call me today and say, hey man, what's going to happen in April? And I'm like, bad stuff, because it's also, we also come on the Grand Cross of the United States, which means the beginning of the crucifixion of America. And what are crucifixions? Crucifixions are massively painful, and at the same time, they bring enlightenment and redemption. The positive side is that we are looking at this coming together, that we in America, those of you of the Union, I could say Americans because you do live on the continent of North America, will realize that help is going to come. You'll realize that there is some sort of divine help. And here's the big thing about what's going on. The whole post-2012 world is all about the end of duality. It's the end of duality. It's the end of really good or evil being, you know, it's, and that's probably why, what was the biggest hit song of this last year? Blurred Lines. That's exactly what's happening. All the lines are blurred between good and evil, between men and women, between all the lines of sexuality. Maybe that's why pot is becoming legal everywhere, because nothing blurs your lines like a good whiff of weed. What's up, Stevie?
I got something interesting to also say in conjunction with people's feelings and sentiments. Now, I know that you've had your opinions, so you know it's with a grain of salt. Somebody had forwarded to my attention a post Courtney Brown of the Farsight Institute made on his Facebook page.
And we read it yesterday. Remote
viewing. And he says,
read it yesterday.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, read it yesterday on the air. And yes, he's talking about how something is going on. But again, and he's wearing that weird hat that looks either like somebody is playing a joke on him and put a rubber glove on his head, or he now is Wee Willing Winky dancing through the town.
I think it's a desert camo bandana.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think that's what it is, yeah.
Well, it's dumb. He needs to wear something else. Yes, we read it yesterday on the air where Courtney was just saying, oh, I've got this weird, vague feeling that something in the next 4 months bad is going to happen.
Well, he said that.
Good old Courtney. Well, again, that's been my beef with – not a beef. Remote viewing is a wonderful science. It's something that I was one of the pioneers of, you know, with Elizabeth Targ, and her father, Russell, was the one of the creators with Hal Puthoff and – Pat Priest and Joe McMonagle and all these guys. You know, you have Major Ed Dames, who was an administrative assistant for the original Project Stargate in Palo Alto. But the one thing remote viewers have been just – they're great at viewing targets that are present in time and space. Where is the hostage? Where is the bomb? What's inside the mountain? Et cetera, et cetera. But I have seen, with the sole exception of myself, and I'm not really even using remote viewing. I take a lot of stuff that I learned from my Himalayan master, Swami Sri Jaya, who I lived with when I was younger and sort of grew up with, from the Tibetan monks as well, who are very in tune with the planet through a Tonglen meditation, a take and to give. that they do every day that tunes you in tune with the planet, which is how I was able to predict all these earthquakes and whatever else. But the bottom line of it all is that remote viewers have been horrible in predicting future events. And yet I've been very, very specific in predicting things like 9/11 and the coming collapse of Islam and all of these things. So I tell you again that you're going to hear a lot more about April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. And not only do you have the Grand Cross, which is the beginning of the crucifixion of the United States, not only do you have the square of Pluto and Capricorn, not only is America going through its Pluto return. And by the way, Pluto is not going – because the chart of the United States has Pluto in Capricorn. And it doesn't – and it's at 24 degrees. Right now Pluto's at about – I don't know. I could look at the ephemeris, but it's somewhere around 15 or 16 degrees or so. It doesn't hit 24 degrees Pluto. In other words, standing right on the Pluto of the United States, which is really the trigger point for implosion, if you will, destruction or implosion, until about 2018. And there is a gigantic – there's a massive solar eclipse that cuts directly across the center part of the United States, goes right over the New Madrid Fault, which is going to happen in August of 2017 as well. And you know, just looking forward to other things that are going on. So what else was I going to say about that? So you also – one other thing I'd like to mention is – and I'll – at some point, if you want to subscribe to – hopefully – to help us, you can go on StrangeUniverseRadio.com, and you can take a look at – we do have a donation button there. We are – I don't know why I don't mention this every show. We are listener-supported. So if all of you out there, all 34 of you, donate even $5, I could go to the movies and buy popcorn with maybe some dinner, buy some cat food or something. So go in – and by the way, contributing to Strange Universe Radio – of course, we receive no monetary remuneration from Revolution Radio. They spend whatever money you give them to set up the equipment and you know make sure that the guys that run the station have enough money to continue this to go. So you must understand that this is a gigantic experiment in freedom and free will that is only supported by your goodwill. So let me put another thing in there that you know if you can spare $10, $15, $20, if you appreciate the program and want to keep us going, that's what does it. There was a very famous French astrologer by the name of Barbeau, and what he did is he wanted to know why astrologers weren't more prescient and better at predicting economic rises and falls and collapses of civilizations, really. And he took squares and major transits of major disasters and ran them all through a computer and calculated them for about for the last 2,000 years, until about 0 AD or so. He says that April of this year, it's going to be bad. His entire and he predicted, by the way, the collapse of the markets in 2008. He predicted the rise of the markets. You know, I gave you a specific on it where I told you the market was going to go to 16,500, which is exactly what it did. Actually, it went to 16,583, I believe it was, and then it started kind of tumbling down the other side. And in 2008, I told you the markets were going to go to 14,500, conservatively speaking, and they would eventually go to 16,500. Another major prediction. Now, I got – and believe it or not, I got a lot of grief for that because I said the market was going to go to 14,500, and it went to like 15 – it was like 15,150 or like 15,357 or something, and I missed it like by like 150 points. People are like, oh, you're a big fraud. It didn't go to 14,50. You didn't predict the high of the market. All right, this was years in advance. This is when the market was like – this was back in the day when I was telling Art Bell that the market was going to be 8,000 when it was 3. And he was like, you're crazy. You don't know what you're doing. And it was going to go to 10. And it was going to go to 12. And it was going to go to 13, et cetera, et cetera. So the reason I say this is because Barbeau – let me give you all the things that are coming together. Number one, the Great Pyramid of Giza. Let's go back to the original source material. The Great Pyramid of Giza is telling us that the pit – that a large majority of mankind, the unwashed, those who just bring doom upon themselves, that the pit, if you're going into the pit, you stand up in the pit, in the pyramid, which is 151 feet beneath the main pyramid of Giza. You can stand up about the year 1900. And there's all kinds of scoring lines and stuff that predict the First World War, the Second World War. Then there's a lip on the edge of this hole that goes down into the floor about 60 feet or so, that if you fall into it, you're dead. And water used to come up through that, but that's a whole other story. It warns you that between approximately 2006 and about, actually it started about 2004, December of 2004, through 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, that period of time, plus or minus 3 years or so, were times when we could prepare. Oddly enough, the pit underneath the pyramid is a siege perilous. It's a water torture chamber. Supposedly the initiate would go into it, the masters would flood it, and he would have to use his yogic abilities to be able to hold his breath or find the high point to be able to survive drowning, in essence, a water torture siege perilous, as I said, like Indiana Jones, you know, the humble man is penitent before God, so you don't get your head chopped off. So in that, we've had a warning space, and right on cue, December, I mean, it was Christmas Eve, I think, of 2004, as the pyramid was predicting, you have a gigantic tsunami in Indonesia that kills about 250,000 people and washes over them. And I don't know, are those the lowest consciousness people on the planet? Not for me to say. It seems like God hates Indonesia. There's always floods and, you know, earthquakes and all kinds of stuff. A whole bunch of Orientals that are all Muslims, which strikes me as really strange. But that has to do with the Wali Sangho and the Nine Prophets and, you know, the whole history of Islam going into Indonesia, which is really pretty weird. So there we go. And then you go to 2012. And I've told everybody we were going to get around 2012. Everybody thought it was going to be fine. With all the disaster movies and everything else, they got you all worked up for the December 21st, 2012 date. And I was telling you, nothing's going to happen. But we're going to get past that. Now, let's connect it to the Mayan prophecies. Let me finish with the Egyptians. When you turn right towards God, towards the Creator, and you go around the pit, you then start walking forward again at the edge of the pit. You think everything's fine, and then somewhere around between 2012 and about 2016 or so, you look right, and there is a gigantic trough that comes from the far wall that comes all the way down, which is called the River of Fire. And this is a cosmic event of some import, well, massive import, that then washes everybody that's in the pit, all the lower ones, all the children of darkness, if you will, washes them all into the pit one last time when everybody thinks they're fine. Let's take the next step. Now, if you're looking at the Mayan prophecies, and you understand that and between October 28th of 2011 and December 21st, actually it was like the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, when we had a galactic center alignment. There's going to be another galactic alignment as well in 2017, approximately the same time as this eclipse that's coming across the center part of the United States as well. So we got more to look forward to. But this was the resetting of the clock. It's the next phase of the calendar. It ended one calendar and started another. And in that, we went through a gestation period. Stay with me now. We went through a period where October 28th of 2011 was the sperm hitting the egg, the sorority girl meets the frat boy, the Barry White music starts playing, you know, you'll never find, but that's always Lou Rawls, and I get that, oh my dear, take off that brassiere, come on over here. That's when the Barry White music started happening. So some new concept, some new reality, some new, as I said, brilliant, blazing comet of light went across our consciousness. And it begins something new. And then we have the Star Child, like the last scene in 2001 Space Odyssey. David Bowman, who reaches up to the monolith and is processed through to be reincarnated again on Earth. The Star Child comes along. And then we go through a gestation period. And that gestation period is us sort of floating around in the cosmic womb, the amniotic fluid, if you will, of the cosmos. All these amazing things happen. We had an eclipse of the an annular eclipse, a supermoon that was directly aligning with the Pleiades for the first time in 26,000 years. All kinds of amazing shite happened. Stunning things. Leading up to December 21st of 2012. Well, guess what? Now the baby's born. The sun aligns with the ball court. The crowning head of the child comes down. Now we had 400 days. And there were 400 days in which now the baby's kind of opening its eyes. And, oh, look, I have fingers and toes. And these 400 days, a little over a year or so, actually complete themselves this Sunday on January 26th. So there are people saying that January 26th is going to be a major shift. Something else is going to occur. Something amazing is going to happen. And let's call it January, February, March, April. You know, 3 months is good enough for horseshoes, hand grenades, atomic bombs, and psychic predictions. So let's call it April. So now, in the Great Pyramid, so here's the Mayans. The Mayans talk about the 400 days until things get really bad. And now we're entering truly, and what the Mayans envision is that we are swallowed by the Jaguar, that the next 13 years between 2012 and 2025, which, by the way, in 2025, on the exact date that the Mayans are talking about, is when Pluto, which is still a very powerful planet, I don't care what a bunch of astronomers say that it's not a planet anymore, it's still a freaking planet. Pluto moves into Aquarius. And for the first time, you know, this is going to be the first time in, and imagine, if you will, Pluto moving into Aquarius is very much the same as the colonies of America being granted their freedom, the separation of church and state, which is the first time that happened for 5,000 years or so. We had a true, truly free republic up until, I don't know, I wouldn't say 1812, but probably until Lincoln, maybe, you know, because Lincoln came along and pretty much screwed it up for everybody. I'm not going to say he's a war criminal or anything like that. Lincoln did good things as well, but I'm just saying. So imagine that kind of energy coming along in 2025. But right now is the night of the Jaguar. Right now we're swallowed by the Jaguar. And right now we've got to be adaptable like a Jaguar, because the Jaguar is on the land. He's on the water. He can swim. He likes the water. He's up in the trees. We have to be quiet. We have to be cunning. Again, as the Apostle Paul said, we must be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. It's like I've told you, I've used all the state du jour stuff, all the other stuff. I've never attacked anybody with it. I made a mistake of attacking somebody once. You know, yes, I sued somebody for libel and slander, and I said, you know, bring that weak ass shite into court. Come on. You know, you want to talk a bunch of lies and a bunch of crap on the internet where nobody – it's the, you know, the first medium where you don't get to be checked, where, you know, nobody says boo. You know, all these rumors and all this crap can fly around and all these people can say all these bad things about you and there seem to be no repercussions whatsoever. So one last thing is that Barbeau – and I don't mean to get off on – well, I do mean to get off. Well, here's my rant, as I said. Barbeau is now saying that beginning April 22nd, 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, that according to his charts of the transits, that we begin the biggest, baddest, nastiest political, social, economic, and earth change cycle that this earth has seen in well over 2,000 years. And that it ends somewhere around 2025 or so, exactly like the Great Pyramid says, that we start climbing out of the pit between about 2020 and 2025. All right, more really cool stuff to talk about. Hopefully I can learn you some more stuff. This is the Sean. Sugar's in the studio today with Gemma and Bodie and Ginger, and they're all here too. Purring and being happy. We'll be back in the beats of your heart.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Enjoy your
extra big-ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another?
Extra big-ass fries.
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford
oh,
to make
no,
a purchase.
Oh, no, no.
I'm sorry you're
come
having
on.
Trouble.
My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer, long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
My name is Megan Bell. My father, Dr. Fred Bell, was one of the greatest scientific minds of this age. He was a prolific writer, inventor, and extraterrestrial contactee. When my father tragically passed away, many thought that his incredible scientific work would be lost forever. But I have picked up the torch and reignited his Promethean flame. We now bring you the all-new Pyridyne, based on the powerful fields created by pyramids and hyper-advanced Pleiadian and Andromedan technology. We offer jewelry, pendants, and scalar wave-based pyramid systems that bring protection from all the dangerous, harmful fields and energies that modern civilization bombards us with every day. All this combined with a line of vitamins and nutrient formulas that bring you raised levels of health, awareness, and closer to the ascension frequency of our new age. I joyfully invite you to join us on our website and find out more information for yourself.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Pyridyne.com. That's P-Y-R-I-D-Y-N-E.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your body's filling with adrenaline right now, whether you know it or not. Your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger, unafraid, right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Radio! Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
This is Lorian Fenton from the Fenton Perspective. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now we take you back to Strange Universe with your host, Sean David Morton.
from sea to sea, from planet to planet, and star to shining star. Welcome back, angels. Oh, messengers of L. So to complete my thought on everything I was talking about before, so you've got the astrological aspect, the Mayan aspect, the Egyptian aspect, this rather worrisome chart by Barbeau, who, again, points out to April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd as being the beginning of the end, actually, and that we would be facing a 2,000-year low politically, socially, economically, which means war, in essence. The Great Pyramid of Giza, actually, the pit goes all the way down to the very bottom of the pit, being what the pyramid describes in the sacred geometry as being the lowest point in human history in the last 6,000-year cycle, 5,000-year cycle or so, and that human civilization as we know it will not even be reestablished on the planet until about 2025 or so. That's the ass end of time dragging at the bottom. So this next decade doesn't look really well. Doesn't look great. Not a lot of good prospects for it. Maybe we should all just go hide in the mountains somewhere, have a cave someplace. So that. And one other thing I wanted to point out also, because I got distracted on it, but I wanted to revisit it. It's kind of like asking a cat to walk in a straight line. If you just stay tuned, I will get to it. If you just stay tuned. That we were talking about the little circle, the about 1,000-mile radius circle in which everything in the Bible happens. Actually, the Bible, the Torah, the Quran happens in that space. We're moving out of duality. We're moving out of that the blurred lines. That's why that song is such a big hit. The blurred lines. We're moving out of duality where instead of thinking in terms of things being good or evil, we're now looking at things being in light and shadow, if you will. We're looking at more of a Taoist or Taoist mentality of understanding that the universe breathes in and breathes out, that what's bad for the mouse or the rabbit is good for the eagle, as an example, that we're starting to see the patterns, the warp and weave, the strum and drang of how things are laid out. And we literally go from the snake to the dog to the, yeah, the progression of the four aspects, where we go from the snake to the dog to the eagle to the sun, literally, or the phoenix, as it goes. And that's those are the four phases of the Mayan calendar as well, that we're in the ground, we can't see really above the weeds, and then the dog is bouncing above the weeds, and then the eagle can see the pattern of things, and then the sun becomes the source of life for everything. So the matrices that were set up, you have the Judean, or should we say Hebraic, because it's not, initially you had 13 tribes, the 12 tribes of the 13th artificial tribe, which then became the Judean because you had 10 tribes that disappeared. So you're left with the Benjaminites, the Levites, and the Judeans, and the Jews. And that then becomes the Judean aspect. But then you also have, you have Islam, which is basically just a really weird, it's like Muhammad shows up and he gets beaten up by the Christians, then he gets beaten up by the Jews, then he goes off to a cave where he goes all crazy and gets all mumbly and supposedly goes to paradise and is given a book by the Archangel Gabriel. And he comes down, and he's not even given a book. He just starts mumbling a bunch of stuff, and his four buddies write it down. And it becomes this weird religion that's sort of part of everything. It's all kind of mushed together. So, you know, again, I hope some Muslim doesn't come blow up my house. But look, I lived in the Middle East. I've read the Quran. I've tried to make sense of this religion. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. I know you got to pray five times a day. You do get a bunch of wives. But you know what they say, the punishment for having more than one wife is they give you three. So, as they say. Because women, as I've discovered, are very expensive pets. Anyway. And isn't it weird that in the United States of America, where the NSA can read every single one of your emails and all your transmissions and all your cell phone calls and know everything about you, still, apparently they know everything about everything in the world except for what happens in Cleveland, because a guy can actually keep three women hostage in his basement for like 10 years. Sort that one out. Anyway, so the matrix, this is my point. My point is that the matrix that was begun with the Judeo-Christian Babylonian aspect, because remember, the Babylonian aspect is all the interest banking, all the usury. You look at all these banks, and here's the sick part. The sick part is, if you look at Fortune 500 companies, look at Forbes, look at that list of Fortune 500 companies, you have to go down and you look at number one through, don't quote me on this because it's either 30 or 40, but I'm pretty sure it's 40. You have to go 40 companies down until you hit Microsoft, which is the first company on the Forbes 100 that actually produces a product. Those other companies are all money making money. The Goldman Sachs's and the JP Morgans and the Chases, and they're all banks. And the one thing that I think is amazing, I don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy, but the one thing that Pope Francis has done is he has pointed out, and he made a statement to these people at Davos, which we'll talk about in a moment. But what they pointed out to is, do you realize that 30% of the gross domestic product of the earth goes to banks and interest, to usury, something that was vociferously and viciously, by the way, outlawed by the Old Testament of the Bible, by the Muslims, it's still outlawed by the Muslims, technically, under Sharia law, by the Catholics. And again, there was a reason why the Jews were booted from place to place. You know, it wasn't because they were, you know, had the milk of human kindness and they were all, you know, generous and happy and snuggly and cuddly. It's not like they were Teletubbies. They were the ones who were practicing usury. And when you're practicing usury, you got booted from country after country. It's not political. I think it's going to happen. It's a science. It's economic science. It's a way to actually come in and take a look at that. Matter of fact, once again, in the Fortune 500, if you look at the Fortune 500, Walmart actually, now Walmart does retake the top spot. But Berkshire Hathaway made the top five. Apple grew enormously in all this. But you are looking at a bunch of companies, at a bunch of things that are that do nothing but grind out money. Anyway, so okay, but this is the matrix that is breaking up. This is, as I said, this is the matrix that is breaking. And by the way, Walmart doesn't produce anything. Walmart sells stuff. You know, it's a retail store. They take things from the Chinese that are made from a bunch of other people. So I'm not exactly sure, even though Walmart makes the top Walmart stores in revenues, they're not really producing anything. ExxonMobil does produce something, does actually produce a product. Chevron produces a product, produces you know, oil, et cetera. Apple produces a product. General Motors, you know, these are the companies that are actually producing products. But as we go along, the matrix, the Judeo-Christian, the religions are going to start fracturing. The Babylonian banking system, which is basically I loan you 10, you give me back 11. You can trace the history of every single war on this planet, in essence, to interest banking and to a concept that everything continues to grow. So anyway, I'm, by the way, I'm still reading viewer mail. So this is all, you know, this is listener mail. Also, this is also still from Mike Gray. And the rest of his email says, "Hey Sean, I listen to Alex Jones every day." Okay. "And never heard Alex dismiss Stephen Miller. Alex covers chemtrails. True. Alex does not cover aliens or that side of the New World Order." That's fine. That's your job. But to Alex's credit, he has had David Icke on and John B. Wells himself, just so you know. Love you, bro. We need to stop the infighting. We're all on the same team fighting the same dragon. Okay. That's fine. And again, what Stephen was talking about was not he did not get dismissed by Alex Jones on his show, as I understood the email that Stephen J. Miller put into the program. He had a personal encounter of some kind with Alex, where Alex sort of shouted him down. Stephen Miller's point, once again, this is mail that I was reading. Stephen Miller's point was specifically that Alex, what he does is he yells and he screams and he jumps up and down and he continues to just constantly deal in fear porn. And never really present any solutions other than to say, well, buy all these, you know, zillion products. I mean, he's gotten rich by creating a straw man boogeyman that hides under your bed and in your closet and in your chandelier. And, oh, here, buy this product to shoot him when he comes out of the closet, or feed your family when, you know, he takes away your food. And, you know, for all these things, I would just really like to see the stuff that Alex Jones continues to scream about, just see some of it start to happen. You know, we are seeing the buildup of governments and all this. And, you know, he did go on Piers Morgan and was supposed to represent, I guess, an alternative viewpoint. And the media loves the guy because he, sorry guys, he makes us look like idiots. He's not a thinking guy. So, and it's very valuable because people listen to him. Look, he's the number one show on the internet. Actually, number one show on the internet is like Mariachi's Today. So he's number two next to Mexican music. It all sounds exactly the same. You can just play Cucaracha over and over and over again. And that's what Mexican music all sounds like to me. It's all people yelling. Sort of like music in the Middle East. It's all kind of the same. So, again, not bagging on anybody. You know, Alex, and again, Alex must be very sad because, you know, what, Edgar Bronfman died, and he gets a lot of Bronfman money, and he's all up with Stratfor and the Israelis and all that. So, you know, again, God bless you, Alex Jones. You know, you are what you are. Cliff High actually writes in and says he's always going through some bad stuff. His wife is always in very bad health, though. But he does have a report coming out next Tuesday. And so we're going to try to get – once this new report comes out, we're going to try to get him on the show probably Thursday of next week. So I've actually put the offer out for Alex to be on the program Thursday. We're also talking to Brad Steiger as well to get Brad on because Brad and I are old friends. Cliff says, new data sets are quite extraordinary, even for the woo-woo sheet. So some really strange stuff is going to hit us over the next 4 months. Going to be a good time for all us conspiracy guys. We'll go on the show when the report is out next week. We have lots of woo to discuss, maybe Thursday or Friday of next week. Hopefully report done by Tuesday to be released then Tuesday or Wednesday. So as soon as this report comes out, we will have Cliff High on the program. He's one of my best buddies and always love to have him. And let me play this for you before we launch into some other things and we take some calls and get into some more stories. One of the people I really admire Jeff Foxworthy, and Will Rogers was that simple, unique, prairie-based, all-American man who always very much hit to the heart of what was going on with the country. And Jeff Foxworthy doesn't get enough credit. I know he's, you know you're a redneck if you've got one TV on top of the other TV. You know you're a redneck if a friend introduces you to his wife and his cousin, it's the same woman standing there. Yeah, all that stuff, the redneck stuff. And I even think, Larry the Cable Guy is funny and his whole redneck tour. I'm not real impressed with Bill Engvall, but I do sort of like who's the big drunk Texas guy? Ron White. Yeah, he's kind of funny. Just because he reminds me of like everybody that my dad ever hung out with, these big, giant sort of, drunk dudes telling you all these weird creepy stories. So here's some stuff that Jeff Foxworthy has said, and I think you'll have some fun with it. And I just need like some country music, some sort of blues country music in the background. So here we go. Here's Jeff Foxworthy, and I can't do Jeff Foxworthy, but he's got a piece that says, "A country founded by geniuses but run by idiots, or idjits, as you could say." He says, if you can get arrested for hunting or fishing without a license, but not for entering and remaining in the country illegally, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but run by idiots. If you have to get your parents' permission to go on a field trip or to take an aspirin in school, but not to get an abortion, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but is run by idiots. If you must show your identification to board an airplane, cash a check or buy liquor or check out a library book and rent a video, but not to vote for who runs the government? God damn, if I'm ever gonna be on. You might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but is run by idiots. If the government wants to prevent stable, law-abiding citizens from owning gun magazines that hold more than 10 rounds, but gives 20 F-16 fighter jets to the crazy new leaders in Egypt, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but is run by idiots. If in the nation's largest city you can buy 2 16-ounce sodas but not 1 24-ounce soda because 24 ounces of a sugary drink might make you fat, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but run by idiots. If an 80-year-old woman or a 3-year-old girl who is confined to a wheelchair can be strip searched by TSA at the airport, but a woman in a burqa or a hijab is only subject to having her neck and head searched, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but run by idiots. If your government believes that the best way to eradicate trillions of dollars in debt is to spend trillions of dollars more. You might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but is run by idiots. If a 7-year-old boy can be thrown out of school for saying his teacher is cute, but hosting a sexual exploration of diversity class with a gang of homosexuals in grade school is perfectly acceptable, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but run by idiots. Let me throw my own one. This is not Jeff Foxworthy. If you put on a Muppet special with Lady Gaga and Elton John for your kids, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but run by idiots. Or a network, anyway. If hard work and success are met with higher taxes and more government regulation and intrusion, while not working is rewarded with food stamps, WIC checks, Medicaid benefits, subsidized housing, free cell phones, and Obamacare, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but is run by idiots. If the government plan for getting people back to work is to provide incentives for not working by granting 99 weeks of unemployment checks without any requirement to prove that gainful employment was diligently sought but couldn't be found, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but run by idiots. If you pay your mortgage faithfully, denying yourself the newest big screen TV while your neighbor buys iPhones, timeshares, a wall-size do-it-all plasma screen TV, new cars, and all kinds of fancy stuff, and the government forgives his debt when he defaults on his mortgage, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but is run by idiots. And if you're being stripped of your constitutional right to defend yourself makes you more safe, according to the government, well, you might, again, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but run by idiots. And how about we give God a reason to continue blessing America? How about that? Because apparently the government is making fools out of all of us, says David Bromberg.
I'm 6 feet on the ground, dead, my grave buried, and long forgot. I'll be so long gone and forgot that my flesh will have turned and returned to the nutrients and elements and the molecules from which it originated. I mean to say that the genus and species of worms that used to crawl in and out of the sockets of my eyelid holes will vanish from the face of the earth. I mean to say I'll see the earth leave its orbit. I'll wear the rings of Saturn for a ring around my little pinky. I'll let your sister marry a Venusian. I will see you dead. I'll see your lover dead. I'll see his lover dead. I'll see his lover dead. I'll see his lover dead. I'll see that faggot dead. I'll see everyone you ever knew, loved, touched, stood next to, heard of, smelt, felt, dreamed about in your life or any of your descendants' life, down to 168 person, roasted and tortured in hell for 1 billion trillion years, 16 eternities, 27 forever, 11,000 years after that, before I will be your fool.
Uh-huh. Hey, man, brother. Put your hands on the radio and feel the warmth of my sincerity. David Bromberg. Yay. There we go. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, meanwhile, enough of that silliness. What do we got here? Here we go. Okay. I don't know how much I can actually do. We got Sorcha Fall. We've got my buddy Pete Carroll in the news. We have, and of course, I think this whole thing with Richard Sherman is a setup for them to maybe rig the Super Bowl. You know that's coming. I don't think they can have a guy as right thinking and as truthful and as spiritual and as into what we believe as Pete doing something on this. Okay, here's a good announcement for you as well. This just in: J.B. Wells is going to come on the show next Friday. We're going to have J.B. Wells. Yeah. J.B. Wells Unleashed. So he's going to be off the Clear Channel chain, off the C2C restrictions, and we're going to have him on the program to tell you all what he really thinks about what's going on out there. So J.B. Wells is going to be my guest, or John B. Wells is going to be my guest next Friday, and hopefully Thursday we're also going to have we'll have Cliff Eye. So it's going to be a big week next week. So we're going to put all this up on the site. Also, please subscribe to StrangeUniverseRadio.com, where you will hear everything unedited and uncircumcised. Woo! that's why they circumcise Jewish men, because Jewish women won't accept anything that's not 20% off. Ah, so there you go. Okay, I'm not sure I have enough space. I'm going to save the Pete Carroll story for just a second, but let me give you where's the Pope? I had the Pope here. The Pope was doing good things. What did I do with the silly Pope? There he is. Okay, here we go.
All
right, here we go. I got it. Pope Francis, who, again, I'm contending is a, so far, Pope Francis has been a pretty good guy. He says, I ask you to ensure humanity is served by wealth and not ruled by it. And this is Pope Francis's message to Davos and all the elites out there. Now, it's interesting because the elites love this guy. Why? Now, this is a website called Follow the Money. It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now? I think that's a Rage Against the Machine song. So here it is. According to them, Pope Francis has urged global financial leaders assembled at the Davos World Economic Forum to use their vast wealth for the service of humanity instead of leaving large portions of the world population mired in horrific poverty and unstable living conditions. I ask you to ensure that humanity is served by wealth and not ruled by it, the pontiff addressed a crowd of 2,500 people in Switzerland on Tuesday. So he's actually there at the conference. His message was read out by Cardinal Peter Turkson, who is president. He's a African Negro black president of the Pontifical Council for Peace and Justice.
He's one of those guys that there was a rumor that he may have been the Pope himself.
Ah, okay.
Remember that?
Pope Francis asked bankers and business leaders to stimulate inclusive prosperity. The growth of equality demands something more than economic growth, even though it presupposes it. It demands, first of all, a transcendent vision of the person, Pope Francis said in the message. All right, we're going to have more from Pope Francis. We're also going to talk about Pete Carroll jumping into the 9/11 truth movement, trying to find the truth, and Sorcha Fall coming up in the last half hour. This is the Sean David Morton affecting you in a strange and unusual way with his pheromones through the radio. And we'll be back because you love me after this.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
My name is Sean David Morton, and in 2010, I was called into the offices of the most high-powered law firm in the world on an estate matter of the utmost importance. After signing contracts promising I'd never reveal the identity of the people involved, I inherited the journals of a man that had spent 40 years in and become director of the global shadow government. It was the Holy Grail with information on the Unified Field Theory, the Roswell crash, the Philadelphia Experiment, the Sigma Treaty, Nazi superscience, the Montauk Project, Area 51, the Dulce Mesa Wars, and treaties with extraterrestrial races and the back engineering of their hardware. But mostly, it had to do with the development of technology that would allow us to travel through time and fight a deadly alien threat that was only now on its way here to destroy our world. Read the book that I have risked my life to write. For the first time ever, read the truth about it all. Sands of Time, the runaway bestseller by Sean David Morton, available in signed limited edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com.
Read this book and never be the same.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
My name is Megan Bell. My father, Dr. Fred Bell, was one of the greatest scientific minds of this age. He was a prolific writer, inventor, and extraterrestrial contactee. When my father tragically passed away, many thought that his incredible scientific work would be lost forever. But I have picked up the torch and reignited his Promethean flame. We now bring you the all-new Pyridine, based on the powerful fields created by pyramids and hyper-advanced Pleiadian and Andromedan technology. We offer jewelry, pendants, and scalar wave-based pyramid systems that
bring protection from all the dangerous, harmful fields and energies that modern civilization bombards us with every day. All this combined with a line of vitamins and nutrient formulas that bring you raised levels of health, awareness, and closer to the ascension frequency of our new age. I joyfully invite you to join us on our website and find out more information for yourself.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Paradyne.com. That's Pyradyne.
Okay, here it is. Life Change Tees Commitment to Excellence. Once again, Ronnie McMullen here, challenging you to a better lifestyle and health. On my radio show, I challenge people to think and act on good mental health, and this, in turn, promotes great physical health. Life Change Tee is a head start product to help aid your health and bring you your best life. And Life Change Tee doesn't taste like tea. It tastes great. So now, here's your holiday bonus. Buy now a 1 month supply and we'll give you 2 weeks for free. It's our holiday giveaway and it's the best sell of the year. Lose weight and feel great this holiday season. So order now. Call 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Remember, we love our customers, and our customers love our tea. Get the tea.com.
Will you fight? No! We will run! And we will live!
Shame on you!
This could be the greatest night of our lives, but you're gonna let it be the worst.
And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life you won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
Well, I'm not going home.
We've got too far!
And I'm gonna stay right here and fight for this lost cause.
A day may come when the courage of men fails, but it is not this day.
The line must be drawn here. This far, no farther.
I'm not saying it's gonna be easy.
You're gonna work harder than you ever worked before.
But that's fine, we'll just get tougher with it.
If a person grits his teeth and shows real determination,
failure is not an option.
That's how winning is done.
Believe me when I say,
we can break this army here.
And win just one for the Gipper.
But I say to you, what every warrior has known since the beginning of time,
you've got to get mad.
I mean plumb mad dog mean.
If you would be free men, then you must
fight to fulfill that promise. Let us
cut out their living guts
1 inch at a time.
And they will know what we can do.
Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
You're like a big bear, man.
This is your time.
Seize the day. Never surrender.
Victory or death.
Batch, the Chicago.
Who's with me?
Clap! Clap! Don't let team die! Clap!
All right, let's fly!
And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall know my name is the Lord.
But I tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
our Independence Day.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. One world coming together to bring freedom home. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now back to Sean David Morton with Strange Universe.
I said I'm sorry, but
and money flows to me freely and easily. Any monetary gain, all you need is a miracle. For this song, this is Mike and the Mechanics. All I Need is a Miracle, and All We Need is a Miracle. Strange Universe Radio, the greatest radio show ever in the history of time and space, and the greatest radio show you will ever listen to this hour. Cracking the matrix every time we speak. Yeah, we'll take calls in a second. If we're taking calls, just stand by. We got a couple of stories to go through, although we are on a roll. And if you want to call in and just throw rocks at us, whatever. You're more than welcome to. Okay, as I said, All I Need is a Miracle by Mike and the Mechanics and Cindy Lauper. Remember when everybody was thinking, was it going to be Cindy Lauper or Madonna? And I was betting Cindy Lauper. I thought so. So standby 201. Let me finish this story right here. So once again, what the Pope Francis has said, and look, I know all you conspiracy guys out there are saying, oh, well, the elite loved the guy, and he was, what, the man of the year, and the elites do seem to really love him a lot. But I'm telling you, this Pope's actually a pretty good guy. So what he says is, I ask you to ensure that humanity is served by wealth and not ruled by it. The growth of equality demands something more than economic growth. Even though it presupposes it, it demands, first of all, a transcendent vision of the person. Now, the Pope has talked about this a lot. Another thing he did, you got to stay quiet, 201, stand by. Hang on, man. It also calls for decisions, mechanisms, and processes directed to a better distribution of wealth, the creation of sources of employment, and an integral promotion of the poor, which goes beyond a simple welfare mentality. Now, the comments came out one day after an Oxfam report garnered worldwide attention after showing that the world's 85 wealthiest people have as much money as the 3.5 billion poorest people on the planet, which is half the Earth's population. The report titled Working for the Few was released Monday. It focuses on the extent of global economic inequality caused by the rapidly increasing wealth of the richest people that pose a threat to human progress. Get down. I'm sorry. When you have kids or cats or animals, you develop Tourette's. It's like, you know, and I love you. Get down from there. Ah! Anyway, the report title Working for the Few, once again, the global economic inequality caused by the rapidly increasing wealth of the richest people that pose a threat to human progress. A total of 210 people became billionaires last year, joining the existing 1,426. That's 1,426 billionaires with a combined net worth of $5.4 trillion. And that's what we know about, by the way. If you're talking about Rockefellers or Warburgs or DuPonts or Rothschilds or whatever, let me give you an idea. When Bill Gates went to his first Bilderberg conference in France in 2004, the conversation that must have happened is Bill Gates saying, yes, I'm one of the wealthiest men in the world. He didn't talk like that. Like he's all, what, like Bill Gates is Cary Grant. Hi, I'm Bill Gates. I own Microsoft, the biggest country in the world. And probably somebody said to him, really? I own France. He didn't have enough money to be invited back for like another almost 5 years or so. So the Argentinian Pope, renowned both for his harsh criticism of the excesses of capitalism and his remarkably humble lifestyle, stopped short of condemning the leaders for excesses exposed by the global financial crisis. He recognized that businesses have helped draw millions of people out of poverty. However, he also noted that a side effect of big business was broad social exclusion. And Pope Francis on Tuesday called on the world's political and business elite gathered in Davos to use their spirit of entrepreneurship to alleviate crushing global poverty. In a message read out at the opening ceremony of the annual World Economic Forum, Pope Francis said, quote, those who have demonstrated their ability to be innovative and for improving the lives of many people by their ingenuity and professional expertise can further contribute by putting their skills at the service of those who are still living in dire poverty. It is intolerable that hunger continues to stalk the world even though substantial quantities of food are wasted. Basically, he's saying the same thing that all the popes before him have said. So it is kind of weird that he is being lauded by the atheist embracing left and all the progressives. You know, and again, let me give you the other side of this. I mean, the Jesuits are masters of subterfuge and deception. They are basically the CIA or MI6, but 1,700 years old. So we shouldn't be surprised that he, in some ways, and this is, there's some negative aspect on this. You know, can he hypnotize the masses? If you know that he didn't address Davos personally, he sent Turkson, who's the man that a lot of people thought would actually get the nod as Pope the last time. So it is weird that Turkson was the one that he sent kind of as his errand boy, if you will, where he didn't. I mean, why didn't he go himself? If he really wanted to influence all these people, then you're right. He should have gone himself to say more, or should I say do more, than simply give a speech. And one other thing, too, is that not only are there all these 1,426 billionaires on the planet, but an actual scientific study of all the companies, corporations, and everything else that was done in such a way to show that 80% of the assets of the entire world, everything, is owned by approximately 740 people. And most of those, and this is the stocks of one company to another company, another company, most of those, oddly enough, are based in the United States, even though they've got offshore companies and whatever else. So, yeah, the United States on the public side and all of us may be sucking air, but the United States is winning. I'm not sure if you notice this or not, but, you know, the U.S. government is dealing $100 billion in heroin out of Afghanistan after our supposed, quote, police action or war there. They've taken all the oil from Iraq, and they're selling it to the Chinese at record numbers. So, you know, the guys who own the corporation of the U.S. government are doing just fine. Thank you very much. So it's nice that we actually have a pope that's addressing that. And we did have a caller, but
no,
sorry.
They're here.
Oh, okay, 201. If you're still here, I'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, Sean, Dan the Man.
Hey, Dan the Man, what's
up? You went off the AI. Well, it's my computer. Since 6 o'clock New York time, maybe it's the computer. I called to find out what was going on. That's all. And I'm sorry I missed the show as always. I've been talking up sands of time to people in the building. You might get two phone calls or one. I read it twice. I mean, it was like, I thought like I was hip. Now I'm hip. You know, I mean, yeah.
I'm listening through freedomslips.com.
I don't know what that's all about, Sean. Somebody just came in.
This is Steve. This is the producer. How you listen to Sean's show, trying to get an answer for you.
Click on freedomslips.com.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, go to radio live. Click on.
Okay. Though that's strange.
COA, Hawk's Nest, and Studio B. You're on A. I mean, you know, I had headphones. So I used them. I took them out. You know, I just wanted you guys to know that I don't know if it's my machine, but you've been off the air since 6 o'clock New York time. I haven't been on. And I just called up because I just wanted to find out, like, what was happening. You know, is everything all right? That's all. Okay.
I think the problem's got to be something going on with your computers or your network or something, because I've heard nothing about being off air. We're sorry that's happening to you.
All right, we'll double check the archive as well, because we always post the show on the StrangeUniverseRadio.com archive. But anything else on your mind?
No.
And actually, I'll give you a call and I'll give you some progress on some other things that are going on. So I'll talk to you after I get off the air. Okay.
No problem. No problem. God bless you all.
Thanks good again, night. Dan, and thank you so much for the the nice comments about Sands of Time. I appreciate that.
And, no, for me to read it, like it says, it's changed your life. You know, I mean, it's sad that, like, you know, it's not like, you know, everyone is not good. I talk it up to everybody. I refuse to give them mine. I mean, like, you know, I still got the mailing that he came in. He said to me, "Well, is this going to be like, you know, you keep it in the same case, it's going to be worth millions?" I said, "It should be." like Jefferson, my hero, truth, the first object. That is you, a pedophile. You know, I mean, like, I'm sorry I missed the show. Maybe it's my machine. More than likely it is. A smarter man than me would have threw that away about 10 years ago. But okay, my friend, just be healthy and tell Melissa I love you all. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Dan the Man. And thanks for being my friend, and thanks for being a fan of the program. Rome had its gladiators. The Aztecs had their epic human sacrifices. The Mayans cut out people's hearts on the top of temples. But in all the annals of bloody spectacle, nothing has drawn a crowd like America's biggest annual cultural, social, and economic event, the Super Bowl. And in 2011, 111 million people, that's 111, watched the Super Bowl, making it the most viewed television program in U.S. history. American football, unlike European football, or soccer, as we call it, is a violent, militaristic game. And the gist, two teams of 11 muscular, manly men in plastic armor pummel each other in helmets and face masks, pummel each other into oblivion as they march up and down the field, capturing territory while trying to penetrate each other's end zones, which is why all women should watch this game. The game rose with the military-industrial society it represents. American football surpassed the gentler sport of baseball as America's national pastime during the post-World War II years as U.S. imperial expansion continued. Normally, the Super Bowl, with its ritual militarized violence and crass, tasteless, often downright perverse advertisements, although if you think that, you need to watch, Family Guy sometime, represents American culture at its worst and at its best. But this year's Super Bowl, I think it's best sometimes. When you just have a minute of a monkey dancing up and down, if it's got a monkey in it, it's funny. Anyway, this year's Super Bowl, scheduled for February 2nd in New York in an open stadium in a blizzard where it's probably going to be 10 below, will have one redeeming feature. It will put the national spotlight on the rise of the 9/11 truth movement. Yep. The Seattle Seahawks, who will be playing the Denver Broncos for the championship, are coached by a 9/11 truther, Pete Carroll. This fact has already begun to astonish the middle-brow world of mainstream American football audiences. It's probably why you haven't seen so much of Pete Carroll in the mainstream media as well. But the sports blogosphere is already spilling over with outraged headlines. Is Seahawks coach Pete Carroll a 9/11 truther? Isn't it weird that only the media can bash somebody about being a, quote, truther? In other words, somebody that wants to know the truth about something, as opposed to my saying is a 9/11 liar, like everybody in the media. So report, Pete Carroll may be a 9/11 truther. Pete Carroll sinks truth about 9/11 from a 4-star general. Pete Carroll, 9/11 conspiracy theorist? Ah! So here's the deal. What did Pete Carroll do to achieve such notoriety? Last spring, Carroll grilled 4-star general Peter Chiarelli. Now, and I'll explain to you what exactly happened. He was asked, actually, and this was some time ago. He had a relationship with the military. I did not agree with this, by the way. He had a relationship with the military where, because he's so good at building family, esprit de corps, doing things better than they've ever been done, he's taken a lot of the philosophy of Tim Galway from his book of The Game of Inner Tennis, by the way, and taken that to a level where he's taken the youngest team actually in the NFL, one of the worst paid, I might add. Russell Wilson is barely scraping at $600,000, as opposed to the million-dollar contracts of Flacco and both the Manning brothers. But he had just this general had just retired as the U.S. Army's vice chief of staff, and Pete has access to a lot of people. I mean, for goodness sakes, he has access to billionaire Paul Allen, Gates, Steve Ballmer. But Carroll expressed skepticism about whether an airliner really hit the Pentagon, and apparently also remarked on the obvious controlled demolition of World Trade Center Building 7 and the only slightly less obvious explosive demolitions of both the Twin Towers. Quote, every 9/11 conspiracy theory you can think of, Pete Carroll asked about, said Ricky Ellison, who's an ex-football player, also a USC guy as well, turned military advocate who was present at the meeting. General Chiarelli was understandably annoyed by Carol's questions. Remember, all he was asking was questions. Another thing that Pete loves is that he's a huge YouTube fan, and he downloads a lot of stuff on YouTube, loves YouTube. Matter of fact, when we were in Egypt together, he was like, oh, well, look at this YouTube thing. Look at that. He's always downloading YouTube. He's a very online creature. So this general obviously could not publicly deviate from the official mainstream media government propaganda storyline of 9/11 without endangering his career and perhaps his life. And Pete also went in because he was, as I said, he was training Navy SEALs and was trying to get them to be better than they ever could be. And you know, I said, really, do you really want to teach these techniques that you know about human performance to, oh, I don't know, a bunch of killers? So Carol was basically forcing Chiarelli to lie by confronting Chiarelli about the all-too-obvious 9/11 inside job. Let me also point out that when you're talking about the collapse of WTC-7 and the Solomon Brothers building, which was part of the scenario and probably the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania, that airplane was supposed to crash into that building so that they could then trigger it. And when something went wrong with that airplane, somebody on the inside just went, fuck it, blow the building up. Who's going to know? We've got everybody baffled already. And the entire 9/11 report, the entire 9/11 report deals with the collapse of WTC-7 by not mentioning it at all. It might as well not have existed. And you have a mayor saying, we pulled the building. You have Larry Silverstein, the owner, saying, quote, we demoed the building. You have the head of the fire department saying, quote, the building was demoed. And if you understand that it takes months of painstaking work to plant charges in such a way to implode a building, it can't be done in 4 hours, so they tell us. And the entire building implodes perfectly. Oh, and there just so happened to be, like, I don't know, tons of gold underneath the building that disappeared. So the biggest barrel of political dynamite in U.S. history, Pete Carroll, became an honorary member of We Are Change, which is an activist group that specializes in guerrilla video interviews with suspected 9/11 cover-up criminals and traitors. And what Carroll did to Chiarelli was exactly what We Are Change members repeatedly did to Rudy Giuliani when the former New York mayor was running for president. Everywhere Giuliani went, he was met by We Are Change activists with video cameras asking, since you have admitted that you knew in advance that the Twin Towers were going to collapse, why didn't you warn the firefighters that were inside? Because those brave 9/11 truth activists changed history by forcing Rudy Giuliani to drop his presidential bid. Because without them, we'd probably already have been led into World War III by President Giuliani. And Pete Carroll is not the only American football celebrity who has championed 9/11 truth. Another patriotic athlete is Mark Stepanowski. And he first spoke out for 9/11 truth back in 2007. And Carroll and Stepanowski are presumably just the tip of the iceberg, because it seems likely that the majority of NFL players know, or at least suspect, that 9/11 was an inside job. And though this may seem counterintuitive, since athletes are stereotyped as being, you know, big, dumb, stupid, and authoritarian, the reality is that NFL players have to be smart, capable, they all have college degrees, and they're capable of thinking for themselves to rise to the professional level. You don't become the best of the best by being an idiot. So the fact that most NFL players are African-American also contributes to the likelihood that many favor, and by the way, very spiritual as well, contributes to the 9/11 truth movement, because polls have shown that roughly one-third of Americans, 36%, in a well-known Scripps poll, think it likely that 9/11 was an inside job. And in the African-American community, which understands the evil that the U.S. government is capable of because they have been the victim of it historically, the figure is much higher. It's well over 60%. So by coming out publicly for 9/11 truth, Pete Carroll has joined some of America's most popular celebrities, Willie Nelson, Harry Belafonte, Mos Def, Eminem, Jadakiss, Immortal Technique, Henry Rollins, Richie Havens, Peter Coyote, Ed Asner, Charlie Sheen, Martin Sheen, Roseanne Barr, Sharon Stone, Michael Moore. Well, not so much Michael Moore. He still thinks the Saudi Arabians did it. But and two of America's most critically acclaimed filmmakers, David Lynch and Richard Linklater, all of whom are among the thousands of notables and experts listed at PatriotsQuestion911.com. So Pete Carroll's reputation as a fearless 9/11 truth seeker will be the talk of many an American dinner table at Super Bowl 47 as it approaches. Now, could this be a reason for them to rig the game against Pete Carroll and the Seahawks? Is he too dangerous to be, quote, the reigning Super Bowl champion coach? Be very interesting to see what happens with, will they move the Super Bowl to someplace else because of a storm? But as the blogospheres drive the topic into public consciousness, the mainstream media is going to be forced to cover the issue because it's happening in New York. And remember, Pete Carroll used to coach the New York Jets, so he's really returning home. And when he was fired by the New York Jets, he claimed the owner of the New York Jets, he said it was like looking into the face of the devil. He said it was the greatest day of his life when they fired him from the Jets. Because they said, oh, you're too nice a guy, you know, to coach pro football. But Carroll will be too busy preparing for the big game to allow all this talk to distract him. But when more than 100 million Americans sit down to watch Pete Carroll's Seattle Seahawks play the Broncos, the 9/11 truth issue is going to be on many people's minds. So rest assured, no marching band will reenact the controlled demolition of Building 7 during halftime. Oh, well, unless it was Stanford, I guess. Nor will Mos Def, Eminem, Immortal Technique, Jadakiss rap Bush Knock Down the Towers. Though such a halftime show would be scandalously more memorable than Janet Jackson's bazoom wardrobe malfunction. And if Seattle wins, don't expect Coach Carroll to scream out live on Fox TV, "This one's for the truthers." Anyway, one of the people that we'll have to thank will be an unusually gutsy professional football coach when 9/11 truth comes out, and that would be Pete Carroll. God bless him, and God bless all those Seattle Seahawks out there. This is Sean David Morton. Our Rebels Now are ended. These are actors, as I foretold. You're all spirits, and are all melted into air, into thin air. We are such stuff as dreams are made of, and our little lives are rounded with a sleep. All is one, life is purpose, God is love. See you tomorrow. Thanks to everybody for helping out with the show today.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Most guys freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The body's filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, the heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger